Serving Columbus for over 60 years. AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
Who's Sweet and Low do you have on today?
Sweet and Low, like I said.
I know.
At least it's not Splenda.
Is it your
I have Fritz the Night Owl on the show today.
Oh, that brings back some memories.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing that. We got to get out of here, though.
All right. Well, thanks for everything. We may or may be back next week. We don't know. Stay tuned.
Team Radio Outlook has lively discussion for everyone. So join us again next Saturday. And the chat continues online when you like Radio Outlook on Facebook and follow us at Radio Outlook on Twitter.
Meat Packers Outlet, Columbus's good old-fashioned retail meat market. For the best deals around on all your meat purchases, visit Meat Packers Outlet at 317 South 5th Street downtown. Meat Packers Outlet is family-owned and operated and has proudly been serving Columbus with fresh-cut meats since 1957. Meat Packers Outlet has daily low prices on beef, pork, poultry, and deli items. This week's specials include Bar S Wieners, 99 cents for a 1-pound package. Deli Slice Turkey Pastrami, $3.49 a pound. Chicken Wings, $2.49 a pound. And Bulk Sliced Bacon is just $3.99 a pound. Need a deli tray for your next get-together? Call ahead and order yours now at 469-1720. That's 469-1720. Open 8 to 6, close Sundays. Meat Packers Outlet, 317 South 5th Street at East Main. Downtown. Don't forget, there's always plenty of free parking in the back. Locally owned, independently owned, Meat Packers Outlet. Call 469-1720.
Liberal and damn proud of it. Ohio Progressive Talk, the new 1580 WVKO, Columbus.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. The Justice Department is taking a long, hard look into the leaking of classified information, including the so-called terrorist kill list. CNBC Chief White House Correspondent John Harwood reports President Obama will have to move quickly to dispel the charge that he leaked the information for political gain.
It's certainly not what the president wanted. This is a very serious charge, and Republicans are making it with strong conviction.
New rules proposed by federal officials would include 50 types of cancer and a major expansion of a health program for first responders and others stricken by toxic dust from the 9/11 attacks. The program would make those affected eligible for free treatment. Approximately $46 billion will be required to bail out Spain's banks and bolster the country's financial stability. The International Monetary Fund's assessment comes as important talks between Spain and European institutions loom over the terms of aid to the country's banks. This is NBC News Radio. Pakistan says U.S. defense...
Just imagine the sun rises on a rolling hill.
...denying that it is allowing militants to use its territory to stage attacks on American forces in neighboring Afghanistan. Panetta said the U.S. is running out of patience with Pakistan. A Yellowstone National Park employee is killed her first day on the job. She fell into a canyon 400 feet deep after investigators say she slipped on some loose rocks. Her body was recovered yesterday with the use of a helicopter. Things began unraveling for Triple Crown hopeful I'll Have Another a day after the Colts' thrilling win in the Preakness 3 weeks ago. A series of minor setbacks occurred, and now the biggest shocker of all, the horse's sudden retirement just before the Belmont Stakes. The colt has an injury to his left front tendon, reports NBC's Jay Gray.
A crushing blow for a horse and team that had never been favored in any race until Belmont, where they found themselves on the edge of horse racing immortality.
More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Alex Witt, NBC News Radio.
Just imagine as the sun rises over the rolling hills, a herd of zebra running off in the distance, the giraffe are enjoying breakfast, nibbling on a tall tree, a mother rhinoceros and her baby walking toward the watering hole, and the cheetahs and wild dogs are stalking their morning prey. Put your passport away. This adventure is happening right here in Ohio. This is Jungle Jack Hanna, and I invite you to take the safari of a lifetime at the wilds in southeastern Ohio. The untamed wilderness of the wilds is home to rare and endangered species from around the world, living in natural, open-range habitats. Hop on one of the wild's open-air safari vehicles to experience firsthand the wilds of Africa in your own backyard. But the fun doesn't stop there. The wilds also offers exclusive wildside tours, overnight accommodations, camps, horseback riding, fishing, zip lines. There is truly an adventure around every corner. Visit thewilds.org or find The Wilds on Facebook and Twitter. Grab your binoculars and camera and let the adventure begin.
Remember the days when you used to pile up a stack of wax and groove to your favorite tunes? No? Well, surely you remember shuffling through your CDs while driving, trying to find your current fave. But thankfully, those days are gone. These days, you most likely listen to digital files on your iPod or smartphone. So why do you still have all those CDs stuck in your car's visor and rattling around in the glove box? Get rid of them and get cash in return. Go to Use Kids Records at 1980 North High Street or call them at 421-9455. And if you have a really big collection, you definitely want to call 421-9455 because Use Kids makes house calls. That's right, they will come and get your collection and pay you for it. And if you decide you want to hang on to your vinyl because that's just the way you roll, then you don't want to miss Vinyl Mondays at Use Kids when you get 20% off on all used vinyl. Use Kids Records, 1980 North High Street, across from the OSU campus. Call them at 421-9455 or find them on Facebook. And no, they don't do 8-tracks.
It's time to Fight Back with Dr. Bob Fitrakis. To join the conversation, call the studio line at area code 614-821-1580. And now, here's Dr. Bob. Get up,
stand up. Indeed, it is Dr. Bob live in the studio. Joined, as always, by Michael Allwood. So stick around for his Blue State Diner. And also a special guest in the studio today, Cliff Arnebeck, attorney extraordinaire and keeper of the faith at One Day.
And man about town.
Man about town. But mainly cultured things. Mainly. So Cliff's in the studio, but even more important, we've got mathematician and great questioner of the exit polls, Richard Charnin, on the phone. Let's go to the phone and welcome Richard Charnin.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great, great.
What are the odds of that?
Well, you know, it's we take it day by day. The last few days have been very interesting.
And why is that, Richard? You might want to explain to the listeners here at Fight Back.
Well, on the Wisconsin recall, which I was have been working on for quite a while, since actually the Supreme Court recall, or Supreme Court recount back in a year ago, but most recently on the Walker recall, I've done some my typical true vote analysis in pre-election as well as post, and the pattern continues, the pattern of adjusting the exit polls to match the recorded vote, the implausible national final exit poll demographics, which don't really make sense. And just common sense tells us that, you know, Walker, as unpopular as he was, there's no way he was going to improve on his 2010 election, which is also very suspect, by the way. And so I've done some posts on my blog and on Facebook, and I've had a tremendous response. A number of views on my blog set all kinds of records. You know, my blog is pretty quiet most of the time. But the last few days, it's taking off right now because I just put up another post today where I'm looking at the pattern. And that's what people have to realize. This is nothing new. 2000, 2004, you had the same situation. And people will be shocked when they see my latest blog, which shows that Gore won a virtual landslide in 2000, and, of course, Kerry as well in 2004, and how the exit polls show that they won by substantial margins. And yet the final exit polls that you if you go to CNN or New York Times, you're going to see that they were adjusted and to match the recorded vote.
Yeah, and that's a key point for our listeners, is that that the adjusted exit polls is nothing more than taking these non-transparent machines, this hardware and software that's privately owned, and assuming the non-transparent private vote is more accurate than what people said coming out of the polls. So that when they say they've adjusted it, what they've done is they've accepted on faith that these non-transparent machines are recording right. And you're saying they're not.
Absolutely. You said it in a nutshell. The implicit assumption on the part of the media is that there is no such thing as election fraud. That is the implicit assumption. In fact, they don't even talk about it, as you well know, Bob. They won't even mention the machines. All they'll talk about is voter disenfranchisement, or that the Democrats were not, they got to do better next time.
Richard, it's Cliff. Don't you want to qualify that statement? Because isn't it a fact that in the rest of the world, that is other than the United States, the media does recognize exit polls as the gold standard by which to determine and detect and do something about election fraud?
Yes, absolutely, Cliff. It's only in this country. We run exit polls in the Ukraine, in Georgia, and by the same pollsters run the exit polls overseas, and they always seem to be correct. But for some reason here, they're not.
Well, Richard, let me offer you this explanation. The universal laws of large numbers and statistics and central tendencies only apply outside U.S. territory.
That's correct. There's such a the law of large numbers it does not apply in this country. In fact, scientific analysis doesn't apply the method.
And that's now, including methodology, Richard, which they never talk about. Because as a social science, I was trained when you get this type of massive, unbelievable, impossible error, you don't simply accept it as truth. There used to be this old his-mister thing they used to run us through. You look for some historical explanation. The Democrats, caught in their own Bay of Pigs in a sex orgy, right? Something historically that intervened. But the second thing they always taught us to look at was the instrumentation. That is, are the instruments you're using, the voting machines, actually recording correctly?
Let me just say this. I absolutely, the voting machines are manufactured by right-wing organizations. The code is proprietary. It's been shown just now in Wisconsin how one individual in Minnesota has done the programming for the touchscreen machines. And this individual apparently was tied to right-wing organizations. But let me say this. Let me get very more fundamental. I do not – all I care about is the mathematics. Now, you touched on it just before. The number that I want people to know, there's a simple statement which tells it all. And they should, if they have a pencil, they should write it down. Since 1988, there have been 300 state exit polls, presidential. Of the 300, according to basic mathematical probability statistics, 15 should have exceeded the margin of error. 7 for the Democrats, 7 for the Republican, approximately. But 137 did. 137, 132 of the 137 exit polls that exceeded the margin of error moved in the direction of the Republican. Now, I have computed the probability of that. People cannot conceive of the probability in scientific notation. It's one, it's e to the minus 110. What does that mean? That means you have 110 zeros following the decimal, followed by a one. Okay? That is, there are only 10 to the 20, e to the minus 23 stars in the universe. So we have many more.
That's pretty big.
The probability is beyond belief that 132 of 300 exit polls would move beyond the margin of error for the Republican. People should write this down. They don't have to be mathematically. They should have some, at least, they go to the track, they go to the casino, and they know the odds. Well, it's one out of two, it's one out of five. Here we're talking about one divided by e to the minus 110, or 0.00, I won't even say it, all the way out, 110 zeros.
Hey, okay? Richard,
that's what they got to know.
So what you're saying is there was a big bang and the Democrats are getting screwed.
This is bigger than a big bang. It's bigger than the number of stars in the universe.
Richard, I have a question.
It's bigger than the number of sands, than the number of grains of sands on the earth.
Richard, I have a question for you. A moment ago you mentioned the fact that in the mainstream media they're not talking about voter fraud. But I have a bone of contention. They are talking about voter fraud, but they're talking about organizations like Acorn and the attempts to register Mickey Mouse and such entities as that. When they talk about voter fraud, that's what they talk about, and it's psychological ledger domain, I believe, to keep our minds off the actual voter fraud that's going on.
Well, it's election fraud. It's not voter fraud.
It was funny that I was telling Cliff exactly that before we went on the air. Yes.
Okay. I noticed this from day one when the especially out of Wisconsin, John Fund is a Republican shill who is the vote voter fraud guru. He's written books on it. Now, they claim that voter fraud is a problem, but the number of actual cases of voter fraud is minuscule, and there was a book written about that.
Lori Minetti.
Yeah, that's right.
The myth of voter fraud.
Yeah, there is no such thing.
And
there is no such thing. So
Richard,
the media.
Richard.
Yeah.
There is such a thing. It's just not reported. In 2004, there was Bob started a series of forums around the state in which people could come in and testify under oath and give affidavits. In the Cincinnati forum, a gentleman came in after the formal part of our meeting and said, a friend of mine was paid to go out and vote multiple times, and he was just one of a group. And it was they were paid by the Republicans to go out and vote seven or eight times out in the outlying suburbs where they could get away with it. And it was never reported and not prosecuted and so on. But there was in the Cincinnati suburbs, there was massive fraud.
Yeah, by the Republicans.
Yeah. And it was indicated if you looked at the poll sheets where you sign in, you have the registered signature. And next to that, you have the signature of the person who came in to vote that day. You could see it in multiple precincts around the state of Ohio. You could see that these were absolutely different signatures. So there was a massive amount of voter fraud, organized voter fraud, paid for by the Republican Party, because as they said at the time to the people that they were recruiting and paying, we have to do this because these Democrats have gone out and registered all these people.
Okay, Cliff, I agree. That's very good that you brought that up. But the fact of the matter is that voter fraud is associated with the Democrats, and that's what the Republicans are using as a hammer on the Democrats.
Right.
And that's what they're using to shrink the voter polls. Right. I mean, isn't their strategy shrinking so they can get within 5-10 points? And then clearly electronically shifting using this hardware and software in the computers. The Election Assistance Commission of the federal government found in Cleveland that they had shifted more than, well, the machine shifted it itself, or whoever programmed it, more than 10% of the votes in Cleveland that votes overwhelmingly Democratic. That was found by the government, but the response is always, well, that was a computer glitch. What you're saying, there's no glitch here. The numbers don't lie.
Okay. That's another peeve of mine, one of my biggest pet peeves. As you fellas know, I started writing programs back in the mid-60s and scientific, and then I went on to Wall Street. Now, I've been programming every day for about 45 years. Every day I'm on a computer doing something. In all this time, and I've written thousands of programs, they all worked. But in all this time in my life, I've only seen one instance when the machine malfunctioned. Mm-hmm. And the number that should have come out did not come out. That was back in 1965 when I was doing a service fitting program for a naval fighter aircraft, the F-14A, reconnaissance aircraft. I did the mock-up. I programmed the nose using software from Boeing, which enabled you to cut templates. And, of course, it was a three-dimensional machine. You had to cut a three-dimensional template, a series of templates, and there was just one number out of thousands that, for some reason, the XYZ coordinate was way off. When I looked at it, I said, what's going on here? I ran the same program again, no changes, and it came out perfect the next time. So that was the only instance in 45 years of programming that I saw a computer glitch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a real computer glitch. But when I hear people talking about, well, the machines are overheating, that's the excuse.
10,000 voters in Cleveland, almost all Democrats, accidentally glitched off the voter roll.
Overheating.
You know, so where are these machines? Where are they? Out in the middle of... First of all, as far as I know, I always thought that people voted in November. And I always thought they voted inside. Okay, maybe they put the heat on too high. I don't know. I never experienced a problem like that.
All right. Let's bring Harvey Wasserman, and then we'll go to Steve. Harvey, you got anything to say?
Well, you know, we are in the midst of a horrible transition here from what was a semblance of a democracy to a total corporatocracy. I mean, we have to really look at the root cause here. We have money that completely dominates politics now, and, you know, corporate personhood. And so the election protection issue is really a subset. It's a big one, but it's a subset of a horrifically compromised system. And you got to remember, of course, the bad news is that, you know, we allegedly won an election in 2008, and we wound up with a guy in the White House who's just another corporate operative. I mean, Obama is nothing but an empty corporate suit. And so people came out in 2008 and protected the election. And elected the guy that we thought was going to, that many people thought was going to bring around substantial change. And, you know, now we see he's the assassin in chief. And so, you know, he's running again for re-election, and people getting all uptight about corporate, about election theft as well we should. It's a horrible poisoning of democracy. You know, we're choosing in 2008 between Tweedledum and Tweedledee. I mean, it's great, Bob, you're running for Congress, and that other people, Greens around the country, are running, and it would be wonderful if we had a true a vote count so that we could have faith in the outcome and maybe actually put some decent people in government. We're losing Dennis Kucinich.
Which was part of stealing the elections. They were able to rig the districts and knock off all the progressive Dems, which isn't going to bode well. We've got a caller, Harvey. Let me go to the caller. Steve, what's on your mind?
Yeah, for people who want to call in, it's 614-821-1580. I know Sheila Parks is going to probably call in here. Florida used the same machines it did in Wisconsin. They went back and hand-counted the ballots, and it reversed the results, okay? In Colorado right now, the Secretary of State or there's some organization called the Clerk of Courts are not allowing the public to hand-count paper ballots there. They're going to be a secret election.
Well, your eyes can deceive you. It's better. Look, Steve, we've got faith-based voting. Push and pray. If you believe in God, you'll accept faith-based voting.
When Bob Owen mentioned that Florida, the Secretary of State of Florida has been directly linked now to the Koch brothers. You know, in 2000, the Secretary of State, what was her name? I forget.
Kathleen Harris.
Kathleen Harris, correct, Cliff. She was instrumental in stealing the election in Florida for George Bush. And now we have a
co-chair
of
the Bush Election Committee.
We have the same thing here in Ohio with the Ohio Association of Election Officials. They've got these right-wing groups in there that are lobbyists for the Diebold machines or whatever machines you got, and then they start pushing their own laws and misrepresenting the public to the election officials, which are supposed to represent the public. Why isn't the public being represented there? They're not when you're counting ballots secretly. And then also the fact that these machines are beyond the HAVA law requirements of one vote error out of 500,000, we're way beyond that. These machines are illegal. This company is not voting legally at this point. There's no basis for democracy in this country right now. We're living in a fascist state run by the corporation, by the electronic voting machines. If there should, well, go ahead. I'll get off and back.
Right, yeah, because we might have Sheila calling in there. Thanks, Steve. That was Steve. Let me go to Richard Charney. Richard, does it appear that we have more than one in 500,000 errors in this vote counting?
Let me understand. 500,000 in what?
One error per 500,000 recorded.
No, the error. First of all, it's not an error. I don't like to use that word.
Because it's intentional.
It's
rigging.
It's a vote flip. It's a programming. It's malicious programming. Now, what is the percentage? Well, I can only say that the Democratic margin has been reduced by 8% since 1988. So I would say that
eight in 100 is a lot more than one in 500,000.
No. Yeah. Well, what I'm going to say is approximately 10% of Democratic votes are flipped one way or the other. So if you're going to take 500,000, probably 25,000 to 30,000 are flipped, somewhere up in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I show in the in any of the true vote analysis. The vote flipping is 5 to 10%.
All right, Richard,
higher.
We have another caller. Freddie's on the line.
Hey, guys. Wisconsin didn't pass the smell to me for one second because all day they said they got to hit these metrics, a huge turnout in Dane County and Milwaukee, which they got. And they got it, and they had more people sign the recall petition against Walker in red counties than voted for him in 2010.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand for the life of me how his voter base could have expanded.
Yeah, and I think Richard deals with that's a great point because that's in 2004 in Ohio, in an uncontested primary, that is, Kerry had already won, wrapped up the nominations, there was more votes in an uncontested primary for Democrats than Kerry got in the general election, despite a huge, huge increase of three, four times in the voter turnout. So you look at these baselines, what's expected of the vote, and Cliff Arnebeck knows that because it was part of our lawsuit. I mean, Kerry was running behind Democratic no-money dog catchers in red counties, and behind Supreme Court justices that never appeared and weren't campaigning and had no money. And people said, oh, well, no big deal.
Hey, guys, one more thing that hit me on this, and it's their M.O.s. You call it early. You call the race early. Okay, move on. There's nothing to see here. Come on. It's called early. Let's move on. It's done. And the second thing was they have their cover story. In Ohio in 2004
Absolutely.
Was, well, you know, everybody turned out because they were value voters because they were worried about gay marriage.
Oh, it even
and
gets worse. What they claim where the exit polls, they found them wrong in
right.
Warren
right.
County and in Claremont. No, what they said is
right.
that women value voters in the late afternoon only got really, really shy and hid from the exit pollsters.
Well,
but it was only in red counties, only late in the day they got shy.
That's that was a fascinating tale.
In Wisconsin, the cover story was, oh, everybody turned out and voted because they didn't want the recall. I mean, it's the same cover story.
Well, it's
you know,
a different cover story, just same
we
theme.
And we have all this evidence, and we know for sure that elections are stolen, and yet you don't hear a word from the Democrats. You know, why weren't the Democrats yelling and screaming about what happened in Wisconsin? Obama didn't even show up.
Well, Harvey,
and here, clearly this vote in Wisconsin was dubious, to say the least, on the recall. And the most important, clearly the most important vote of the year so far, probably more important than the presidential election in many ways, because you had a clear choice and the ability of the public to get rid of an open fascist governor here, and everything was done right. The president, this is the whole movement. And then when there are tremendous questions raised, which are being raised here on VKO and virtually nowhere else, the Democrats don't say a word. As John Kerry said, not a word in 2004, and Al Gore said not a word in 2000. So we have to realize
sadly,
that
Kerry privately knew
parties.
What happened. Cliff and I were on the phone with him. He alluded to the voting machines in New Mexico. He knew they were recording wrong.
Right. So what is it about the Democratic Party that will not prompted to come forward, even in the most critical, I mean, pretty much life and death. This Scott Walker recall was a life and death situation for American democracy.
Harvey,
a very clear indication that this vote was stolen and that this fascist governor was left in place wrongly. And yet the Democratic Party has yet to say a word.
Harvey, the fraud on the left is different, but it's still fraud. And here's the way it plays out, I believe. The massive funding that comes from primarily or the predominant massive funding is George Soros on the left, and that funding goes to the so-called progressive organizations and to Democratic candidates. And the condition that's placed on that funding is, now you're not going to use any of this money to attack fraud. I mean, that would be partisan, and that would not be, we would not fund you if you're going to do that. So that's the angle. And Soros makes more than $1 billion a year off of a financial system of fraud, and he doesn't want that investigated. And how do you get away with that? By having people in government who don't investigate fraud.
Cliff, are you saying there's golden handcuffs involved?
I want to recommend, I mentioned this to Bob earlier, there's an astonishing piece on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post today by Woodward and Bernstein. You know, Bob and I were called the Woodward and Bernstein of the 2004 election. The actual Woodward and Bernstein have just come out with an incredible piece about how bad Richard Nixon really was. And if you want to see the roots of American fascism in the modern era, you know, date it back to Richard Nixon and the incredible stuff that he did to destroy the American whatever democracy we had in this country. And now, of course, we have a corporatocracy. You mentioned it, Cliff, funding to keep the lid on fraud. The realities of fraud, and we have a two-party corporate system that does not want, a real voter system, a real democracy through votes. And I got to say, you know, here we are, we're talking about Democrats being, you know, boxed out by voter fraud, but the real target, voting fraud, rather, election fraud, the real target is the third party, the Green and the people who could conceivably come up through a true electoral system, but who are crushed by the theft of these elections. We're really the targets, ultimately. It's not Democrats.
Okay, Harvey, hold that thought. We got to get to Sheila, a caller, very quickly before we go to a break.
Sheila, welcome to Fight Back.
Sheila, are you there? We have lost Sheila, so let's go ahead and go to a break.
Sheila, Bob. Let's cut that, and hopefully we can get Jonathan Simon to call in while we're on break. And Richard Charnin is going to stick around and tell us about Wisconsin, how they adjusted, quote, adjusted the exit polls.
You're listening to Fight Back. Dr. Bob will be back after these brief messages.
An Italian dream. That's the Florentine, a true Columbus landmark at 907 West Broad Street. Family-owned and operated, the Florentine has proudly served their homemade pasta since 1945. The Florentine is also known for their friendly staff, homemade house Italian dressing, and all-you-can-eat spaghetti night Tuesday through Thursday. Lunch and dinner specials daily, and always plenty of free parking. The Florentine. It's an Italian dream.
Just imagine as the sun rises over the rolling hills, a herd of zebra running off in the distance. The giraffe are enjoying breakfast, nibbling on a tall tree. A mother rhinoceros and her baby walking toward the watering hole. And the cheetahs and wild dogs are stalking their morning prey. Put your passport away. This adventure is happening right here in Ohio. This is Jungle Jack Hanna, and I invite you to take the safari of a lifetime at the wilds in southeastern Ohio. The untamed wilderness of the wilds is home to rare and endangered species from around the world, living in natural, open-range habitats. Hop on one of the wild's open-air safari vehicles to experience firsthand the wilds of Africa in your own backyard. But the fun doesn't stop there. The wilds also offers exclusive wildside tours, overnight accommodations, camps, horseback riding, fishing, zip lines. There is truly an adventure around every corner. Visit thewilds.org or find the wilds on Facebook and Twitter. Grab your binoculars and camera and let the adventure begin.
This is Charles Traylor, and I just want to let you know that Front Street with Charles Traylor is back. If you enjoy urban progressive talk, you will love Front Street. If it is on the front page, it's on Front Street. We will be back home on 1580 WBKO, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. every Sunday. So join me for a frank, uncompromising discussion on the issues most important to you. Remember, Front Street is back on 1580 WBKO, the best in progressive talk.
He doesn't just play a doctor. Bob Petrakis is a doctor. Just not that kind of doctor. Back to Fight Back with political science professor Dr. Bob Petrakis.
All right, let's go to Sheila Parks. Sheila, welcome to Fight Back. Sheila. Hello.
Hello, Sheila.
Sheila. Let's go to Barbara.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Barbara. Yeah, we were having a little phone glitch here. What's on your mind? Welcome to Fight Back. I know you were taking special interest in the Wisconsin vote.
Yes, I'm wondering if you all heard the story about Command Central, the voting machine vendors.
Why don't you tell our listeners?
Okay, at the end of last year, Command Central went to, they have 3,000 voting machines and 42 districts in the state, and they offered them a trade-out to trade two touchscreen voting machines for the Optek scanners for free.
Hmm.
And so now many of our polling places do not meet the standards of what the Government Accountability Board requires of the voting places.
And what's that standard?
I believe the standard is having at least the Optech scanner machine and paper ballots.
So they're not making them available at all? There's no paper equivalent or scan?
There is some, but we got reports that people who were voting didn't want to do the touch screens.
It was so hard to get on this line. Anyhow, hi, all three of you. I felt like I was part of the war against women. So I wanted to talk about the Dems and the Republicans.
Oh, hang on. We were in the middle of talking to Barbara. We'll get right to you.
Yeah, people were asking for paper ballots, and they actually ran out of paper ballots in many of the polling stations. And they weren't offering them. They were directing people to the touchscreen machines. And we had to actually call the clerks during the election day at some of those places and tell them to make sure they make sure people know that there's paper ballots available for them.
All right. That's a great point, Barbara. We appreciate that. They did that here in Ohio. Some Board of Elections simply refused to provide any paper ballots, even though the law required it. Let's go to Sheila. Sheila, welcome to Fight Back.
Okay, it's off.
Sheila.
Hi, can you hear me
now?
Yeah,
you're on the air.
Oh, thank goodness. It was really hard. I felt like I was part of the war on women. Bob, thanks for doing the show, and hi, Richard and Harvey, too. I wanted to talk about, I know you did it already, but I wanted to talk about the Dems and the Repubs. And, all of you know, but I want to say it on the air, that a lot of voting rights people say that it's both Dems and Repubs who rig. I am not one of those people.
Neither is Richard Charnin, because the margin of error is normal for the Dems, but it's all one-sided. All the unbelievable rigged numbers are all, of course, Republican numbers. So I agree with Sheila. Sheila, are you still there? Apparently not. Richard, fill us in on that. It doesn't look like both parties are rigging.
No, absolutely not. But, of course, the Democrats, as you said, are as complicit because this has been going on since the 2000 election.
Well, they appear to be afraid to say anything.
Yes. I would suggest, before I say anything more, my latest blog puts out all the information about 2000, 2004, and you asked how did they do it in Wisconsin? Well, all I could say is I look at the final national exit poll, the final Wisconsin exit poll numbers. They look implausible, to say the least. However, I do not have the unadjusted numbers, so I can't. I do know this. The media was telling us it was a very tight election. My feeling is probably Barrett was ahead by 2, 3, 4%. They call that tight.
Yeah,
of course, they didn't give out any demographics. So all we know is what the final recorded vote was. And if you go to the New York Times website, you'll see the exit polls are forced to match the recorded vote. Now, any unadjusted exit poll or preliminary exit poll, hard numbers, okay, we can only surmise that maybe 10% of votes were switched. And how do we do that? Well, again, I look at the true vote model. I look at returning voters. I look at the what's feasible, what's plausible. And in order for, and I'll just throw out a couple of things here. In order for to match for Walker to get the vote that he got, here's what he had to do. Now, I'm just reading from my blog. This is very important. Obama had 56% in Wisconsin, but he had 63% in the unadjusted exit poll.
Mm-hmm.
The exit poll had a 2.4% margin of error in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume Obama had 60%. We'll cut it in the middle.
Okay.
To match the recall vote, Walker needed the following. He needed that voter turnout of McCain voters with 81% of McCain voters, and only 71% of Obama voters turned out. Plus, On top of that, he needed to win 25% of returning Obama voters and 95% of McCain voters. Well, okay, I'll give him the 95%, but are you going to tell me that Walker won 1 out of 4 returning Obama voters? Okay. And then the other component are new voters, which according to the exit poll, they give us that based on the 2000, who did not vote in 2010. That indicates that Walker had 45%. So in other words, we know that new voters went substantially to Barrett. And I'm sure that Barrett got more than 55% of new voters. Mm-hmm. So pure logic, pure common sense, pure mathematics, which is really arithmetic, indicates that Walker needed a 10% advantage in returning 2008 voters and a 20% advantage in net defections of returning voters. As I say in my blog, that is highly, highly implausible. Okay? So just common sense. Forget about everything else. What did Walker need to win? Okay? And by how he did it, how they flipped the votes, well, we've heard about the voting machines, the touch screens, and how they were controlled and how they ran out of paper ballots. Put it all together, and there's only one conclusion to come to.
All right. Let's go to Sheila. Sheila, are you there?
I am here.
Yeah, I'm with you. It all is one-sided. If you look at who developed these machines, who owns these machines, who throughout Ohio, Triad, Smart Tech, New Media, they're all, not only are they all Republican operatives, they're all far right-wing in Ohio, right to life. And you see this pattern throughout the country. It's not the Democrats, the Republicans got there first. They own the software. They own the patents. And they own the ability to rig these machines.
I totally agree. Is this Bob talking?
Yes, it is. Bob Patrakis.
Hi, Bob. I totally agree with everything you say. And it's been like that at least since 2000, the Florida presidency.
Absolutely.
And so have you speculated at all about why the Dems are silent?
Cliff Arnebeck, go ahead. Offer your theory, Sheila.
Well, my theory is not fun. My theory is that they threaten to kill the loved ones of the Dems, and that's pretty scary. I mean, you know, they killed Carnahan, and then his wife took office, right?
Yep.
Then they killed Paul Wellstone, but they didn't only kill Paul Wellstone. They murdered him, his wife, his daughter, and the dog. And then when Mondale tried to get elected, they said, oh, no, the Dems brought in politics. And the Dems just sat there through all of this. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Obama, but maybe he really has been threatened that they're going to kill him.
Well, you know, I always wondered when they allowed strange people with no credentials to walk right up on him in the White House. If you ever wanted a message that anyone could be had, it's when that strange couple, without an invite, walk up and shook his hand. Yeah. Cliff.
Because, you know, I mean, like, look, we have everybody on this show, all of us here talking, and, you know, we have bombarded the Dems with what? Letters, emails, faxes. We did a vigil at Kerry's home in Beacon Hill during that election in 2004. We handed papers to people who opened the door. We talked to his brother, we being I, but many, many, many of us. So they know.
No, they absolutely, not only that, I've talked to them off the record, and they'll say, well, you know, that's just, they treat it like a handicap. Is that, you know, and here's what they'll say. Well, we can't go public with this because we won't stand a chance at all. If we can keep it close, you know, if they're only stealing, you know, this red shift to 5%, we can get a big voter turnout and win the election. I know Cliff's got a theory on this.
I've got lots of theories, but it boils down to it's not right wing, left wing. It's organized crime.
But who's talking? But it's organized crime, okay, and the 1% and the, you know, multi-gazillionaires. But the point is, the country is turning right wing in all of the legislation that's being passed and everything that's
absolutely
happening. So it can't be, you know, is that all organized crime? Are there Dems in it? I want to hear some Dem names.
that are involved in this.
Well, I gave a name, and it's George Soros, who's funding the he's the predominant funder of the left, and he's funding left organizations, and he's funding Democratic candidates.
But he's not a candidate. Why won't the candidates look into this?
The candidates, Sheila mentioned having a gun to your head. I think there are people who have guns to their head. The other part of it is, sure, you can mouth off all you want. You can take that position, but you're not going to get the funding to be a competitive candidate.
It's not a gun to the head. It's a wallet to the head.
Candidate, if you're going to lose ahead of time, and we all know that. I mean, look, we begged, we implored, we beseeched, you know, to borrow those famous words. Everybody, all the lawyers, the candidates, everybody in Wisconsin to do something to impound those electronic voting machines and the memory cards and the ballots. They just, you know what? Nobody did it.
Well, the corporate media is first going to pretend like if it was called for by the Democratic contender, he would have been crazy. He would have been tinfoil. He would have been assaulted. Anyone associated with this would have been considered insane. They have a whole propaganda machine. They're privately, secretly counting the votes. They control the machinery. They control the vendors. They control the technicians. Nobody can see inside the black box, you know, or behind the curtain where the great and powerful Oz is. And you're right, Sheila. We got to go to break here. But you're right, is the Dems need to speak up or forever be the junior partner needed occasionally when you have to pass the North American Free Trade Agreement like Bill Clinton. Okay, we got
to
go to a break.
To play hardball.
The fight has just begun. Fight Back with Dr. Bob Petrakis is back after this short break.
Have friends or family visiting this summer? Worried about where everyone's going to sleep, shower, and eat? Well, take the stress out of those visits by booking them a room at Drury Inn and Suites Northwest in Dublin. Conveniently located right off I-270 on Park Center Circle, right across from Tuttle Crossing Mall. Or treat yourself to a little getaway without leaving town. The newly remodeled Drury Inn and Suites Northwest offers many great extras. Free internet access, outdoor pool, jacuzzi, workout room, and free hot breakfast served daily. And every night from 5:30 to 7, it's Drury's Kickback with hot food and cold beverages. For six consecutive years, family-owned and operated Drury Hotels have been awarded the highest satisfaction rating among mid-scale hotel chains with limited service by J.D. Power and Associates. Find out why at the Drury Inn and Suites Northwest in Dublin. Call 798-8802, 798-8802, or go to druryhotels.com. Drury Inn and Suites Northwest, where the extras aren't extra.
Remember the days when you used to pile up a stack of wax and groove to your favorite tunes? No? Well, surely you remember shuffling through your CDs while driving, trying to find your current fave. But thankfully, those days are gone. These days, you most likely listen to digital files on your iPod or smartphone. So why do you still have all those CDs stuck in your car's visor and rattling around in the glove box? Get rid of them and get cash in return. Go to Used Kids Records at 1980 North High Street or call them at 421-9455. And if you have a really big collection, you definitely want to call 421-9455 because Used Kids makes house calls. That's right, they will come and get your collection and pay you for it. And if you decide you want to hang on to your vinyl because that's just the way you roll, then you don't want to miss Vinyl Mondays at Used Kids when you get 20% off on all used vinyl. Used Kids Records, 1980 North High Street, across from the OSU campus. Call them at 421-9455.
Tune in Sunday night at 9 as we dig into the vinyl vault on the new 1580 WVKO. Hi, I'm Tim Morris. Join me this Sunday evening from 9 to midnight. We'll dig through the old record library and pull out platters that haven't been heard on the airwaves in years. Join me this Sunday at 9, and we'll party like it's 1969. Don't you ever listen to the radio when the big band beat comes on.
Yeah! Yeah!
We're back with Fight Back. Here once again is Dr. Bob Petrakis.
That's right, Fight the Powers. Let's go to Richard Charnin, who go to thefreepress.org, and you can click on his link. It will take you to his article and his spreadsheet, Wisconsin Recall. The unadjusted final exit poll was forced to match an unlikely recorded vote. How was that, Richard?
That was great.
What do you mean it was forced to match an unlikely recorded vote?
Well, it's standard operating procedure. I've said this over and over again. The exit pollsters admit it themselves. The exit pollsters' work are paid by the National Election Pool, which is your six media giants, and it is standard operating procedure. It is policy to get to match to the incoming vote, to adjust as the votes come in, to adjust the actual exit poll numbers to the incoming vote. And it happens. We have proof because they had, first of all, they admit it, and we have the unadjusted numbers. And so when you look at the CNN website and you see that there were 13,660 vote of respondents in 2004 and that Bush won by 51%, well, then when you actually look at the real numbers of the 13,660, Kerry won with 51%. So what they're doing is basically lying. They're lying. How much more can I put it? They're adjusting all the demographics, the weights, and the vote shares to match the recorded vote. You go down the whole list. You look, every number is basically fudged. In some cases, they fudge the vote shares. In some cases, they fudge the weighting. They'll say, for instance, in this election, that 35% were Republicans, 34% Democrats showed up. Well, we know that there are more Democrats than Republicans, self-identified Democrats. That's an example. And then, of course, they'll adjust the vote shares. We have no way of knowing, okay, of how, the only way we look at it is the weights. The vote shares, if they say that that Walker had 59% of males, who are we to question that? It could be that he only had 52%. But we're not going to know. But we do know that it's implausible, okay, and that their policy is to match to the recorded vote. I'll just say one other thing. They claim in this exit poll that the margin of error was 4% out of 2,500 respondents, 4%. So what I say in my post is, well, if that's the case, how come they're always within one-half of 1% on the exit polls that they show, which have already been adjusted? Why bother to say that the margin of error is 4% when they're adjusting it so that it's virtually zero? Hmm. So there you go. People are just – they're not – well, they're just not aware, for whatever reason, of what of the numbers and how obvious it is. And that's the fault of the media.
And that's Richard Charnin with a couple of advanced degrees in applied mathematics. Hopefully we can get Jonathan Simon, the man who originally uncovered it, to say a few things. Harvey, any thoughts as we wrap up here on Fight Back?
Well, I just want to frame it. I mean, we've been, you and I, Bob, and Cliff and so many others have been on the case certainly since 2004, especially in Ohio. You know, this is not an issue between Democrats and Republicans. I mean, Bob, you've written the history of the life of Eugene V. Debs. I mean, he voted in his hometown of Terre Haute when he ran for Congress and was shown to have zero votes for his own candidacy. This is the Democrats don't say a word about this. This is really about suppressing, third party and people who really want to make a difference. But this recall in the failure of the recall in Wisconsin is hugely important because this is a thwarting of direct democracy. And we have to really remember that this is not an issue between Democrats and Republicans. It's an issue between the people and the corporatocracy.
All right. Last word, Cliff Arnebeck.
Well, Jesse Jackson referred to, you know, we need a level playing field as we have in baseball and football. And my theory is that the what we have in this modern politics is a golf game. And the Republicans have given themselves a handicap of about 5 to 6 points. And why do they need that? Because they're carrying water for the elite. And so they need the handicap in order to win most of the time.
All right, Bob Petragas, Fight Back. We'll continue on this question of why do we have push and pray voting? Why do we have faith-based voting that can be rigged by the people who own the hardware and the software? Stay tuned for Blue State Diner, Michael Allwood, coming up next.
The Good Fight continues with Dr. Bob next Saturday at 11 a.m. Get your friends and family to join the fight right here on the air or over the internet at WVKO1580.com. Fight Back is produced in part by the Columbus Free Press and 1580 WVKO.
Finally, the liberal media you keep hearing about. AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. Attorney General Eric Holder gives two U.S. attorneys the job of conducting criminal probes into national security leaks. NBC's Mike Vaccaro reports the released information reveals President Obama's hit list.
Two stories in particular, a kill list of terrorists personally approved by the president to go after these terrorists and drone strikes. Another outlining a so-called cyber...